D-May Svingen and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. What was that?
No, it was that background.
Okay.
When you say, and it's like somebody in the back like, you know it!
You know it!
But I do need to say this. Man, we have the coolest, and I mean coolest show name in all of sports radio. DVD.
DVD, baby.
Like, that is the coolest. It just flows off the lips. DVD.
This is indeed DVD.
Yes.
Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you. So we are still DVD, despite the absence of Willie Big D Donick. Who is in Big D, Dallas, Texas, with the Nashville Predators. They take on the Stars on the road tonight at 7.
Man, here we go.
Pregame at 6.
All right. I love it.
Here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie will be on later. He'll be joining the show probably around the second half of the program. We'll have Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet NHL's Insider, I should say. Uh-huh. We will have Elliot Friedman on at 1 o'clock. I hope everybody is doing well after last night's epic storms. Hope everybody's safe and sound and dry. We were all awoken by the alerts on our phones. It was around 3 o'clock when they went off, and at one point, my wife's sister, my sister-in-law's girlfriend, and my 3-year-old son were all bunkered in our tiny half-bathroom downstairs. Arlo was not having a good time.
I'm sure he wasn't. That's why he wanted to get back in his bed.
But we had to be safe. We had to be safe. So I hope everybody out there is doing well. Keep in mind, roads are flooded. Don't try to pass flooded roads. I believe the saying is, turn around, don't drown. So just keep that in mind as you navigate our area today. It's going to be like this, the rain, that is. It's going to be like this for the next couple of days, yeah. I think. Not as strong as it was last
Torrential.
Night. Torrential. Thank
there
you. That is the word I was looking for.
Yes.
So, anyway.
But, I mean, I got awaken as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is it awaken or
awoken?
Awoken. Thank you. By the storms at right around that time, because I can hear my phone going off, and then I hear in a slight distance, 45 seconds later, the kids' phones go off. So I got to go upstairs and just tell them, hey, we may have to, you know, come downstairs in the basement. They end up coming to where I was on the main level. But man, oh man, some water got in my house. Now I got to get it repaired. I think one of the side panels on the house. Some water was able to creep through. And that is the first thing. When it rains that hard, because I don't know if – it's not like I've had a lot of leaks in mm-hmm. my homes. I haven't. But I've had enough to whereas every time it rains, that's my first thing is to walk through the house and make sure, you know, there's no leakage coming from the windowsills or anything else. And I heard something this morning, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, like, did I leave some water on or did I not flush the toilet or something? Like, what, did I flush it and you know, it got, you know, stuck or something? So I'm like, okay. So I get up. I'm like, man, that sounds weird. It sounds like it's coming from the faucet. So I walk in my bathroom. And as soon as I walk in there, I'm like, this can't. I'm like, my worst fear. So I go into my shower and I look up. There's a window right there. A huge window, and I'm like, ugh, water somehow seeped in from the outside panels. I'm sure it's not sealed properly, and it got into the wood, and now it was dripping. So I had to put a towel down because it was dripping into the bathtub. How ironic that it was dripping into the bathtub, but the sound it was making. So now I got to call somebody out, come and fix it. Hopefully, it wasn't it's not a big problem. And I hope others out there don't have water damage. I know some areas you probably can't help it because of where you live. But I just hope that, because water damage is, it's just the worst. It's at least for me, it's one of the worst things. So I got a little water damage. It'll be easy to fix, I'm sure. So hopefully no one else had major damage to their home.
So Metro Nashville Public Schools are closed today, but you probably already knew that. With all of the tornado warnings on your phones between 3 and 4 a.m., it's probably a pretty groggy morning for a lot of you around town. Let us help you wake up. We'll shake it out with you. That natural caffeine, right? You're probably mainlining coffee or energy drinks, but we'll attempt to shake you out of the haze after a long night in our city. So this morning, a pretty interesting trade in the NFL for all of you VFLs out there, Vols for Life, of course. The Dallas Cowboys traded for Joe Milton. The Cowboys acquired Joe Milton and a seventh-round pick from the New England Patriots for a fifth-round pick, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Joe Milton, who helped the Tennessee Titans secure the number one pick in the NFL draft when he started. I don't know if he actually started the game. I think Drake may have started the game. Mm-hmm. But Joe Milton played most of the game for the Patriots in the final week of the regular season against the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Bills were resting a lot of their starters ahead of the playoffs. But Joe Milton led the Patriots to a Week 18 win, which gave the Tennessee Titans the first overall pick in the draft. I remember coming in the next day and saying, Joe Milton, not only a New England Patriot, an American Patriot for helping the Tennessee Titans secure the number one pick in the NFL draft. But when I shared this news with our DVD group chat, Derek, you said this could be good for the Titans if they want to trade Will Levis. Why don't you explain that a little bit?
Yes, more? Because my thing is, and maybe, you know, as I think about it more, maybe it's the unknown rather than the known. You know, because I think both Will Levis and Joe Milton have similar traits. Skill sets, both big physical, can throw through anything, and both don't have much accuracy. You know, they deal with that at, you know, short, intermediate routes. They deal with that problem. So in a sense, I think both of them are sort of kind of the same quarterback in a sense. Will Levis may, I don't know. Would Will Levis be a little bit better? Would Joe Milton be a little bit better? I don't know. But I think they both are identical in skill set, in what they project. Not to say that it happened, because it hasn't happened with either one of them. But because of the skill set, the potential, it does sort of project into, you know, hey, he has an opportunity, or he has the talent to be a starting quarterback in this league. But for Will Levis, you know, he showed that he's more of a backup than anything. And Joe Milton, he is a backup. So New England trades him because I think they're in a similar situation as the Tennessee Titans all around, period. They have their quarterback. They went out and got a veteran quarterback in Josh Dobbs to be the backup. So you got a young rookie young second-year player now that showed some promise, but he still has a lot of development. And you were able to work out a broker deal between the Cowboys to get a fifth round pick. Is it a compensatory?
It is.
Is there a compensatory pick? A fifth round pick. Now, I don't know if Dallas would have did it had they not had that compensatory pick. Maybe they don't do it, but they did. So looking at Joe Milton, what he could potentially project to, we know he's going to be a backup as long as the Dallas, what's the quarterback? Zach Prescott. As long as Zach Prescott's there, you know he's going to be a backup.
By the way, the compensatory fifth-round pick is 171st overall, according to Albert Breer. So Dallas moved a pick down 46 slots to land Milton, according to Albert Breer.
So they moved down. Or they gave up. They gave up.
The Cowboys are trading a compensatory fifth-round pick, 171st overall, to the Patriots for Joe Milton, and a seventh-round pick, 217th overall, that originally belonged to Tennessee. Yeah, so Dallas moved a pick down 46 slots to land Milton.
Okay. So if Dallas, if New England was able to broker that type of deal with a quarterback that's still pretty much unknown. Yes, he did show some flashes in the game that he played.
22 of 29 for 241 yards, a passing touchdown, and a rushing touchdown in Week 18 against the Bills.
And just think last year, what did – what was it, a six-round pick for Malik Williams? I mean, for Malik Willis?
They traded – the Titans acquired a seventh-round pick.
Seventh-round pick.
For Malik Willis. Joe Milton was a sixth-round pick in the draft.
Exactly. So you look at all of that and you say, those two quarterbacks, Will Levis is not the bee's knees, but if I'm looking, those two quarterbacks aren't better than the one that we have as our backup. So could the Titans possibly get a deal like Dallas deal, or can they get a deal a little bit better? But it may have to be with a team that has two picks in a round.
What's interesting is, as your point is that Will Levis has starting experience in the NFL. Joe Milton does not, at least again,
significant starting.
If I recall correctly, he did not start the game against the Bills. I think Drake may have started the game and Joe Milton came in. I'll have to double check that. The flip side of that is with Milton, there's still the tantalizing potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
You still don't know exactly what you have in Joe Milton, and that can be enticing to a team. We've talked about this before. Now, Will Levis, he has more film than Joe Milton, and there could still be some potential there. But with Will Levis, you may think he's more or closer to a finished product than Joe Milton, right? So maybe the Cowboys thought, hey, we could unlock this guy. There are teams who may convince themselves that they can unlock Will Levis. But I'm wondering if the fact that we have seen Will Levis as a starter for, a season and a half, and it hasn't gone well, I'm wondering if that actually drops the price, because it's like we've seen what Will Levis can do as a starting quarterback. It hasn't been good. Mm-hmm. But then again, if you're trading for him, you're not trading for him to be your starting quarterback.
No, you're trading for him to be your backup and to develop him more. So what is that worth to you to have a backup with some experience at being a starter in this league? And listen, he wasn't great, but he did have some games where they were just off the chart. One in particular, his first game of his NFL career. So you look at that, and you look at, can we develop him more than what he is? But he's always, at least here, he's always going to be our backup. I think that's what teams, you know, if you're making a trade with the Titans, I think that's what you got to sort of think about.
And by the way, Joe Milton did not start the game against the Bills in Week 18. He played most of it, but he did not start the game.
Yeah, so when you're if there's a potential trade with Will Levis, which I think once we get into the draft, I think that's going to come into more of a clear picture. You know, with Will Levis, what the Titans are going to do with it. Because right now, they have three quarterbacks on the roster, and we assume they're going to take another with the first pick in the draft. So now you have four quarterbacks. All three of them behind the rookie has experience. Now, which one are you willing to keep? Are you going to let it be a true battle for the backup? Or are you going to, you know, take one of these guys and try to work out a deal? I think the best deal you get is with Will Levis, because he has those things you can't teach. If you can just hone it in, you know, and it's sort of like what Trevor said, not to that extent, but, you know, there's going to be the offensive coordinator or GM or head coach saying, listen, we can develop that guy. We got sort of an older starter. we can develop him over the next couple of years, and he could potentially be, the starter once this guy sort of moves over.
This is interesting also from Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. On the Jimmy Johnson chart, the 171st pick, which is what the Patriots are getting for Joe Milton, is worth 23 points, and the 217th pick is worth 4.2. So the trade value for New England here is 18.8 points, roughly equivalent to the 181st pick. Milton was drafted 193rd last year. Also, Milton's lone start or games play or game played dropped the Pats from first to fourth in the draft order, a value loss of 1,200 points. That's the same value as the 12th overall pick in the draft, which is Dallas's first rounder.
Okay, Sam, you had me all the way until the last part.
Okay, so the first part. So the trade, the Cowboys are trading a compensatory fifth-round pick, which is 171.
Yeah, which is 20 what?
Is worth 23 points.
Okay.
They are getting Joe Milton and a seventh-round pick, which is 217. 217 on the Jimmy Johnson chart is worth 4.2.
So it's 4 points. So it's 20, whatever it is, minus 4.2.
So the trade value for New England is 18.8 points.
Okay.
Roughly equivalent to the 181st pick.
Which Milton
was drafted 193rd.
So they got better.
They got a slight return
on their investment.
The second part was Milton's lone start or game played dropped the Patriots from first to fourth
the draft order. Oh, okay, now I see what you're saying.
A value loss of 1,200
So it really wasn't
points.
Worth it. It wasn't worth it. And what they're saying is in a big scheme of things, you did all these moves where the only thing you had to do was not win. Because by winning, it basically erased any gain that you may have received in the trade, sending Milton to the Cowboys.
Right, and if the Titans do trade Will Levis, they are absolutely not going to get a return on their investment. They used a high second-round pick to draft him. They traded picks to move up to that high second-round pick to draft him. They spent 2 years attempting to develop him. It did not work. So you are going to be trading Will Levis for pennies on the dollar. But at the end of the day, you may decide something is better than nothing if we choose not to keep Will Levis.
Hey, what's the old song? Know when to hold him, know when to fold him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you got to know when to fold this one.
And know when to walk away.
Yeah, and walk away from him. You got to fold it and walk away, man, because at this point, especially if you draft Cam Ward, at that point you know he has no future in your organization. So do you try to facilitate a trade before the draft? Because I think once people see that you've drafted Cam Ward, if indeed that's what you do, doesn't the price drop for Will Levis then? Because now you got, in a sense, you don't have to move him. You can still get, but you are more inclined to not have him on your roster by then.
Right.
Yeah. So if I'm a team, I'm not giving you, say, before the draft, I would have given you, let's just say, a fourth round. Now I'm not giving you a fourth rounder. I'm just not, especially if you want to unload him. So I guess that deal, the Milton deal, I think possibly could have, sort of changed the view that the Titans have for Will Levis, because what's coming out is no one's made calls and we haven't sent the call out or text or any, or did he say communicate?
Chad Brinker said in the interview with Jim Wyatt that they haven't received calls on Will Levis. And they haven't made calls on Will Levis.
See, that's the thing right there. It's word. It's all wording. They haven't received a call, but that doesn't mean somebody didn't send them a text or something like that.
Let me find the exact quote. No, we have not contacted anybody.
Okay,
and nobody has contacted us about Will Levis.
There we go. That's better right there. That right there.
It could be
better.
A text. It could be a phone call. Nobody has contacted them, allegedly.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, it's if you know, as we start to get closer to the draft, if you know this is the route we're taking, And you know Will Levis has no future with this team. I think it would be better to try to trade him before the draft and try to get as much, because I think that once you make that first pick and people are not raving, I could see if this was a different draft year where, you know, the high talent or, you know, prospects are in droves here. Then you're waiting till draft day and you may be able to, you know, not strong arm somebody, but say, hey, listen, this person over here wants to move up to this spot to get, you know, and so you, it's better for you. But I think in this situation, because the draft isn't rich in, like, you know, elite players or all pro players, then waiting during the draft may not get you as much as you would have gotten had you wait, had you made the deal before the draft.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on VFL, Vol for Life, Joe Milton being traded from the Patriots to the Cowboys. Could it be a blueprint of sorts for a potential Will Levis trade? 615-737-1025. Coming up next, speaking of quarterbacks, Brian Callahan had a fascinating interview at the NFL league meetings earlier this week. I want to play those cuts for all of you and talk about what it could mean for the Titans and the potential drafting of Cam Ward. 615-737-1025. This Saturday, don't miss Nashville Super Speedway's pre-race concert contest. Nashville's next rising star at Dierks Bentley's Whiskey Row from 1 to 5 p.m. The contest will be emceed by our very own Joe Dubin, and special guest GJ Moja will keep the crowd hyped all afternoon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pre-game begins at 5:50. First pitch is at 6:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick will be along shortly once he wraps up his broadcasting duties with the Predators, who are in Dallas to take on the Stars tonight. So yesterday, Derek, I stumbled across an interview that Brian Callahan did with Kevin Clark, who is the host of the This Is Football podcast. You've probably seen Kevin Clark on shows like Around the Horn. I also think he works for the Omaha Productions team. That's Peyton Manning and Eli Manning's production team, I believe. But if you are a football fan, you are probably familiar with Kevin Clark. And Kevin Clark sat down with a number of people at the NFL meetings this past week, or earlier this week, I should say, including Chad Brinker. I listened to the interview with Brinker. It wasn't as insightful as the interview with Brian Callahan. But Kevin Clark sat down with Kevin Clark at these meetings in Florida. And he's had some really interesting things to say about quarterback development. And I think that's important, obviously, because we all tend to believe that the Titans are going to draft a quarterback, Cam Ward, with the first overall pick. So I'm going to play these cuts for you, and Derek, who knows who's forgotten more about football than I will ever know, I want Derek to analyze these comments. So here is the first thing that Brian Callahan said. Kevin Clark asked him about his time with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati and how he worked with Joe Burrow in terms of development. So this is the first cut I want to play from Brian Callahan on Joe Burrow and his development.
How much did Joe inform your feelings on quarterback development, how to do it, you know, when to sit a guy, how to throw, what to throw at him in training camp, the whole deal?
It's a huge experience for me that I'm going to lean on quite a bit, if that's the direction we end up going, because, you know, Joe wasn't the Joe he is now. I mean, there was still development that occurred. There was still things that he got better at. There were still things that he didn't do as well as he does now. And then just getting that up to speed, I actually went back and watched because it was COVID. So we had all this Zoom time and we recorded all of them.
Oh,
And so I went back and watched all of those first handful of meetings, just to more for perspective on, like, I see Joe as I saw him when I left, which is this, you know, top of the league, yep, best quarterback in football, arguably.
Rich as hell.
Very, very wealthy now. But I went back and watched all of those just to see where he was in that process. And it was good for me to see, because you don't remember that sometimes, on the amount of work that it took to get to where he was. And a lot of that's a credit to Joe, but there was definitely things that we did developmentally, both in how we taught the scheme, how we introduced it, what we asked of him, how we structured game plans that first year. And those are all things that I've sort of revisited, just to have some perspective on what it looks like.
So that was Brian Callahan, mm-hmm, talking about his time with Joe Burrow at the beginning of Burrow's career in Cincinnati. I thought it was interesting, Derek, that Brian Callahan told Kevin Clark that he went back and watched some of these recorded Zoom meetings, mm-hmm, that he had with Joe Burrow early in Burrow's career. And he talked about, I've revisited that time of my career, just in case that's the road we go down.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you think of Callahan's answer there on quarterback development?
I think what it does is, it gives you an opportunity to see how you interacted with, you know, the first pick, you know, potential first pick in the draft. You know, what questions did you ask him? You know, what was his answers? Because now it's almost like you use it as a roadmap, because you see what Joe Burrow is now. And you go back and you say, well, what questions did I ask him? How did he respond? That'll tell me more, you know, about what he's going to be, you know, depending on how he answered the question. And now you can compare the two. You know, maybe I asked him a question about coverages and how do you read coverages. And then now look, 2-3 years later, it all morphed into something that, you know, something good, because how he saw it early on and once we develop and how he is now, the two things they're tangible things that I can go back to and say, this is what I saw in this quarterback. These are the questions that I asked of him. And then the next part for me is, and I think this is important for not just quarterbacks, but just, you know, when you're drafting a guy that high in the first round, second round, whatever, don't tell me what he can't do. Show me what he can do. Let's work on that while developing, you know, him as a player. So those things he can't do now, he will be able to do later. But let's focus on what he does well now. Because if we can focus on that and hone in on that, that brings confidence. That breeds confidence. Now we can sort of move into that other space. But I think sometimes this is my system. You're going to work within my system. And sometimes some quarterbacks don't work well like that. Some quarterbacks, especially young players, you put them in a familiar setting. Give them familiar verbiage as much as you possibly can. And then allow that quarterback to go out there. And because now he may end up being the best version of himself a lot quicker than you saying, you know what, this is how I'm going to develop you. You're going to run my offense. And it's going to be totally different from what you ran. Now, sometimes because of what you're running, you try to incorporate as much as you can, but you can't incorporate it all because it throws off your whole offense. But if you're running something similar, then you got to find a way to make it easier for him to take the verbiage he was hearing in college to translate it to the NFL and to see it the same way.
That's an interesting point, because that's another thing that Brian Callahan talked with Kevin Clark, and we'll get to those comments on the other side. 615-737-1025. Actually, before we go to break, one texter said, were they in a jungle or zoo or something? No, they were outside in, I guess, a courtyard at, mm-hmm, this hotel in Florida. So a lot of birds chirping and
that's
stuff.
That's a fancy hotel.
It is a fancy hotel. And we talked about this yesterday when we were playing a clip from Diana Russini, who was also at these league meetings. I would like to draft a motion that all insiders have to do their reports outside of a tropical locale where you have all of these birds chirping. Or you can just imagine Kevin Clark and Brian Callahan sitting down at the Rainforest Cafe at Opry Mills. Your choice.
That's what I was thinking more. Let's go Rainforest Cafe.
615-737-1025. We'll play some more of this interview with Brian Callahan and Kevin Clark. Some interesting insight from Brian Callahan. Coming up next, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. By the way, during the break, the National Weather Service issued a flash flood warning, which is in effect until 2:45. So just keep that in mind as you're traveling. Don't try to drive through a flooded road. We do not want you to be stranded. So please proceed with caution after last night's torrential rain. Okay, so we just played the first cut from Brian Callahan's interview with Kevin Clark from the This Is Football podcast, live from the NFL meetings, not a Rainforest Cafe. Although I submit to the NFL that their next meeting should be held at the Rainforest Cafe, all of the front office people can stay at Opryland. It's a short walk across the street through the parking lot. They can go to Rainforest Cafe. Imagine them having serious conversations during those lightning storms that they have at Rainforest Cafe.
I mean, I don't have my mic on.
You're just so entranced by the idea of Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah, I'm not a. Last time I went to Rainforest Cafe, the kids were, man, they were not over. So it was, we were here, so they were not over.
I was
the
with
age of five.
I was there within the past month.
Yeah, I could. When I went in there, I cannot. And listen,
you have a 3-year-old. Listen, so I mean,
I do have a 3-year-old.
Rainforest Cafe is I'm sure is a great establishment, but it was just one. It was too much going on. It's too dim in there, so I can't see the food, and it's just too much. I start thinking too much, and then I don't want to eat anything. So,
you hear a gorilla out of nowhere, just like, what's going on?
It's a little bit too much, and it seems like it hasn't changed since the first day they.
It hasn't.
It absolutely hasn't. So no new chair, no new seats, no new nothing.
Animal sounds?
Exactly. Y'all ain't redo the aquarium or anything? I mean, come on now.
Shout out to Rainforest
Cafe.
Shout out to Rainforest Cafe.
Is there like a acronym for it now? Do y'all call it something else instead of the like, long Rain
like
Tree there, Forest?
Like there's a fa- – there, like if
RTF? RTF?
Hey, yo, fam, let's go to RTF.
Yeah, let's go to RTF.
I don't know.
Pull up to RTF. Five.
But I digress. So let's get back to Brian Callahan and Kevin Clark, who were not at a Rainforest Cafe. Uh-huh. They were outside in Florida, hence all of the chirping birds. So we played the clip about Brian Callahan's experience with Joe Burrow and how he is leaning on that experience for what could come in 3 weeks when the Tennessee Titans have the number one pick in the draft. Here is the second clip I want to play from Brian Callahan on young quarterbacks playing right away.
I mean, that's how I see it, that most of these guys are picked high to play. And I think the instances of, you know, the Mahomes and the Rodgers, those were very different team setups then too. You know, Kansas City had a good football team.
They did.
With Alex Smith. And so they didn't, it wasn't as imperative that the pick hit right away,
right.
Which I don't think that's majority of cases. Usually you're counting on that guy to play. And so there is a lack of developmental time because these guys do get thrown in so fast and they have to perform quickly.
Yeah.
The other part of it is, if you want to talk, you know, another discussion for another day is offensive line development, right? Maybe even harder at this point. But that's where you these guys got to come in and they got to play. And so from a development perspective, I think what you saw, even what we did with Joe Burrow, I think what you saw Cliff do with Jaden Daniels is, yeah. is you find as many things that you can find to where they can have success early and allow them to play fast and play confident, and you sort of fill it in as you go, you know, and you stack those lessons, and you stack those things that maybe they weren't as good at that you have to develop. You kind of introduce them slowly as you let them get off the ground.
So that was Brian Callahan about young quarterbacks playing right away, and if the Titans draft Cam Ward, he's playing right away.
Yeah, he is. If you just look back, you know, last year you had three guys play, well, really four guys play right away. That's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Bo Nix.
Correct.
The year before that, you had three guys, Young, Stroud, and Richardson. I don't think Richardson should have been a starter right away, but they did, and you see where they are at now. Bryce Young, he wasn't surrounded by enough talent, especially the offensive line, and you see what the Carolina Panthers were not able to do. 22, there was no – I mean, Kenny Pickett didn't start right away, and then when he did start, he showed that he wasn't a starting quarterback in this league. 21, you go back to Trevor Lawrence, obviously started, and then 20, which Brian Callahan is talking about, you had Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, and Justin Herbert all starting early. Jordan Love was the only guy, I'm talking about the first round, because Jalen Hurts ended up starting right away too, I believe, or somewhere within that first year. But the top picks, you know, all of them started right away. Even the year before that, Kyler Murray, I believe he started right away. Daniel Jones, did he start right away?
I think he was on the bench with Eli Manning.
Yeah, he may have been on the bench. Dwayne Haskins, I don't think I'm not sure he started right away, the late Dwayne Haskins. I don't know if he started right away or not. He was the top 15 pick. But what when you draft a quarterback that high, especially within the last, say, 10 years, they are looking for you to be a starter day one. That's why we are drafting you in the top 10. You know, any guy you draft in the top 10 should be a day one starter in your mind. It doesn't, you know, in this day and age, the quarterback is no exception. He's not an exception to this, even though you want him out there, even though you want him to develop. I mean, they still are pushing these guys to be day one starters rather than, you know, sitting back. Now, we've seen our few occasions, most notably Jordan Love, where he sat 2 years, I believe, and then was able to take over the job because of the trade of Aaron Rodgers. But as many, you know, instances I can give you that it works, I can give you the same that it doesn't work. So I guess it all depends on, really, when you looked at Joe Burrow, where was your team at? Were you going to put him in a position to succeed or fail? Or were you putting him in a position you knew he can rise above? That was Joe Burrow. And he had, even though the first year wasn't great and he ended up getting hurt. But he still was able to rise above, you know, sort some of the things that the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, put themselves in as far as organizational wise out there on the field. So when you look at the Titans, if indeed they do draft Cam Ward, and your decision is play him early, let's wait. What situation are you putting him in, for one? And can he develop within that situation? Or can he rise above? You think he's that good, as you did Joe Burrow, that he can rise above that, as Chicago thought with Caleb Williams, that he could rise above that? Because Chicago's whole roster wasn't good. Now, they had some good receivers, but their roster as a whole wasn't great. Offensive line was horrid. So if you do draft Caleb Williams, are you putting him in a position where he can come in and is something that works for him? Or you believe he's just that good that he's going to be able to rise above whatever you got going on as an organization?
615-737-1025, your thoughts on what Brian Callahan has to say about quarterback development. We do have one more clip we're going to play Coming up next, 615-737-1025, a reminder that D-Mace Vingan and Donick is proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. I also want to tell all of you that this week's Nashville's Best Deal comes from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, downtown's largest axe throwing venue and your go-to spot for food, fun, and vibes. Enjoy panoramic views of the city, a killer soundtrack, craft cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. This week, score half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals and grab yours now.